senators will have to decide if they believe Donald John Trump incited the erection. The erection. The erection.
So, have a good life. We will see you soon.
For there is always light if only we're brave enough to see it. If only we're brave enough to be it.
And we'll lead not merely by the example of our power, but by the power of our example.
Strike and 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 strike.
I will eat your leftist ass like corn on the cob. I'm ready.
Welcome to the Crowd Diving Show with your hosts, Ryan Pfeiffer and Patrick Vile.
Good Friday, everybody. Crab Diving Live, streaming right at you from Pensacola, Florida, the Redneck Riviera, USA. Thanks for listening. Whether you've downloaded us as a podcast at your favorite podcast app, whether you have are listening as a rerun on the Crab Diving Network, streaming 24/7, or whether you're listening live, yo, 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 what's up? We appreciate the hell out of you listening.
Yay.
And taking the time to hang out with us wherever, whenever, whatever you're doing. Thanks also for buying shit through the Amazon link, crabdiving.com/Amazon. Use that link every time you go to buy shit at Amazon. We get a little commission. It doesn't cost you fuck all.
Right.
And, you know, we're still on X.
Yay.
Why not? It's like the herpes we can't get rid of.
Right. Which would be herpes.
Right. Over.
I can't even hear that with these new headphones.
That was an interesting whine going on. I'm going to deploy the Kong toy, and let's see what's going on. It's Faithless Friday.
Let's see. In the house.
Or not. Let's see what's going on over to the commie pinko liberal HuffPo. TikTok. Trump January 6th trial delayed. We saw
a what? Oh, that you just said TikTok. I thought it was TikTok January 6th trial.
Well, it says
involving TikTok.
The headline says TikTok.
Oh, I see.
You know, time.
Oh, it's delayed.
District Court Judge Tanya Chutkan announced that the federal trial of former President Donald Trump on charges related to his efforts to steal the 2020 election is no longer set to begin on March 4th.
God damn it. I was right. I said a long time ago, all these people waited too long to start these fucking cases. And that's so fucking true. Why in the fuck were we waiting so long? This is insane.
The district court judge announced that the federal court trial of Trump on charges related to his efforts to steal the 2020 election is no longer set to begin on the 4th. She delayed the start of the trial because an appeals court has yet to rule on Trump's claim that he has absolute immunity.
Oh my God.
From prosecution for anything he did while president.
Listen, if this guy gets elected and these trials just get slow walked, I mean, that means he beats us. That means he beats us. God, what? What in the shit made our Justice Department drag their fucking feet to prosecute these cases? What could be more important?
Well, they had to get all the evidence.
Listen, a
long time.
I'm hearing a lot of people on MSNBC say similar things like, what the fuck, Merrick Garland? And you know what it was? They didn't want to seem like they were, I don't know.
Political.
Like, which is insane.
Like they were like them.
That is no. This is inherently political. It's about insurrection.
Well, that's not politics. That's a crime.
Involving politics. But why wait? No, it's so stupid. It is the dumbest shit.
Whatever verdict the DC Court of Appeals heard arguments on Trump's claim of absolute immunity on January 9th. Despite taking up the case on an expedited basis, the court has not yet issued an opinion. Whatever verdict the court reaches, the absolute immunity argument will almost certainly be appealed to SCOTUS.
Perfect. That sounds good, too.
We're highly doubtful they'll get away with it.
They're just walking out the clock, man. They don't even have to be good at this. They just have to be slow. It's insane.
So that's the headline over at the HuffPo, the big delay. Let's see what the Drudge report, if it's the same one. They changed it.
Yeah.
USA bombs Iran targets in Iraq, Syria.
Oh, shit.
The United States launched attacks on Iraq and Syria on Friday.
Syria.
Its first retaliatory strikes for the killing of three American soldiers in Jordan last weekend. Mm-hmm. U.S. military forces struck more than 85 targets, hitting facilities such as command and control centers and drone storage sites. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, this is the kind of thing that normally would leave conservatives woozy from semen loss, but because Biden did it, they're against it.
Oh, of course. Of course. These are the same people that don't want to do this border deal or whatever the fuck. The most conservative immigration deal ever, and they don't even want it.
There was even a conservative Republican in the House, of all places, one of the more loonies.
Yeah.
Who is now saying this is some bullshit that we're gonna scuttle this bipartisan deal because there's a lot of good things in there. We got a lot of the stuff we wanted.
No, sorry, dumb Republican. That's your party, though. Those are your people. Stupid.
And he's like, I can't believe we're putting politics over.
Go fuck yourself. Oh, my God. That's all you do.
That's all these
that's
people
all you
do.
Have. You
and Trump fucking... is proudly proclaiming it. He was on TV basically saying, I don't want anything to
yes.
help Biden. And there was some, meanwhile, there was another, of course, Republican. I don't think it was a senator. I think it was a House member. I didn't see exactly who it was. That said the opposite. That said, well, we can't pass this. We don't want to help Joe Biden.
That you know what?
I think it was Grassley. Actually.
But that's nothing new. That's nothing new for them because they did. Remember Obama?
Well, right.
Mitch McConnell, Moscow Mitch, said the quiet part out loud. He's like, we're the party you know. Which treat?
Which treat?
Oh, go with right that. Your right hand. You want to? Yes. Oh, of course.
You want to get the points? I'm important. Shelby, Ryan's carrying. Girl. There you go.
It's like, open that door, get me away from this podcast so I can enjoy this jerky treat.
That's the headline, these retaliatory strikes. But yeah, they're...
they don't like it.
That's why the other day on the former Bird app, Elon's Daily Stormer Light...
Oh, yes.
That the term, I do not consent... was trending, and
yes.
I was like, "What the fuck is that?" And sure enough, it was the conservatives saying, "I don't consent to starting a war with Iran."
Shut the fuck up! You know, hey, do they like us bombing giving money to Israel to bomb the living fuck out of Gaza? They must love that. Oh, you love that, don't you, you little fucks? What is wrong with America? We're so stupid. My God.
So the headline that was in there before, God, I hope they still have it over here. They do. from Politico.
Politico.
What Biden really says about Trump behind closed doors.
Well, I mean, what's shocking about this? What kind of dumb article is this anyway?
Well, I just like that it's they're not hiding it.
Yeah, Politico.
President Joe Biden has a reputation for salty language behind closed doors.
Yes, I bet.
But it nearly slipped out in public during his speech at Valley Forge last month to mark the third anniversary of the January 6th insurrection.
Yes.
Animated and angry, he derided Donald Trump and his followers for drawing glee from political violence. Quote, at his rally, he jokes about an intruder whipped up by the big Trump lie taking a hammer to Paul Pelosi's skull. And he thinks that's funny. He laughed about it. What a sick Biden let his voice trail off at the end.
Yeah.
The crowd cheered. But in private, it says he doesn't. Stop short.
Of course.
The president has described Trump to his longtime friends and close aides as, quote, a sick fuck.
Well, he is, yes.
Who delights in others' misfortunes.
I wonder how Trump, when he was in the White House, would refer to Hillary Clinton.
Oh, Jesus.
I mean,
well,
not-
did you see he called E. Jean Carroll a cunt? During the trial. No.
Oh, during the trial?
Like, he said something like, see you next Tuesday.
Oh, my God.
He didn't call her that, but we all know what that
fucking,
means.
Dude, this guy can't get elected again. You know, this Politico, they're funny, though, because they sometimes, I mean, I think this is an interesting article and everything, but the point is Biden says poo-poo words, as does Trump, as does every other fucking president. But what I really love was the piece they did about Kamala saying that she's afraid of Bluetooth technology. Like, that was a story. Kamala Harris doesn't use Bluetooth headphones. She used wired headphones. Ooh.
Here it is.
You remember that?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was Politico.
The E. Jean Carroll's lawyer, Roberta Kaplan.
Yes.
Told George Conway in a recent interview about Trump. He looks at me from across the table and he says, "See you next Tuesday." It was the kind of joke, again, like teenage boys would come up with. Only I wasn't in on the joke, she said.
My God, you know.
See you next Tuesday. This is the former president.
My God, you know. This president has that Trump has to be in jail. My God, what an asshole!
He's such a Trump. He's so stupid.
He's such a thug, though.
You know what I mean? He's really just putting the bronzer on with a trowel these days.
He looks ridiculous.
And there's a line.
But I don't
like. There's a line on the side of his face from where he doesn't go like all the way back to his ears and around his ears and stuff.
God, he is fucking cancer, man.
Okay, here.
This dog wants this other treat, man. Yay! Oh, off to the races.
Yep. Okay. Those are your headlines, everybody, and a little bit more.
Jeebus.
It is Faithless Friday.
Oh, I hate Jesus today. He's so stupid. He's
Why? What did he do?
He killed Carl Weathers. Go fuck yourself, Jesus.
Did you see Twinkie Gay Jesus in Spain is causing all kinds of problems?
No.
Some ad was put up for some festival, some Easter festival that they're having. And it kind of looks like, I can't think of that actor's name, that when he has a beard looks like Jesus.
Jim Caviezel?
And he's in a rock band.
Oh, I don't know.
It's bothering the hell out of me now. But it looks like, shirtless, by the way, like young gay twink Jesus.
Okay.
I mean, like, guy liner.
Yes.
And they're losing their minds over it.
What's wrong with that?
Including here.
What does Jesus do in the Bible that has anything to do with who he would or would not fuck? I mean, really, what does his sexuality have to do with anything that he supposedly said in that supposed fucking Bible? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm curious.
Controversy in Spain over poster of Christ for Seville Easter festivities.
If I was Christ.
Oh, he is wearing really next to nothing also.
If I was Christ, I'd be like, I don't want to participate in your fucking festival celebrating the day I got nailed to wood. Go fuck yourself.
It's a painting of Jesus by Spanish artist Salustiano Garcia, created to promote Easter week festivities.
You know what, man? I don't see how he looks that different from, like, when he's, you know, melancholy Jesus, you know, fucking strung up on the
hanging
cross.
Hanging on the cross. Well,
He looks more than melancholy. He looks so much happy. He looks so sad when he's getting crucified. It's so depressing.
A controversy has ensued in Spain and on social media over a poster of Jesus created to promote Easter week festivities in the city of Sevilla. Seville. Drawing mixed reactions from Spanish conservatives, deeming the image an aberration and sexualized and effeminate Jesus, as well as from social media users who either defended the painter's artistic vision or created memes poking fun at it.
They don't like it. What do they want Jesus to look like? Jim Caviezel's Mel Gibson's the Mel Gibson Jesus?
I mean, what do you want?
What do you care if Jesus is gay? What difference does it make? Does that mean you're going to burn in hell or something? I mean, really? How does the Catholic Church feel about this? I mean, do they think Jesus was gay? It's crazy. This sounds like when the Muslims get upset when somebody draws Muhammad, kind of.
Jared Leto.
He was
Jesus? Who I'm thinking of.
He was Jesus.
No, but that's the look.
Oh, okay.
Of this Jesus.
Right.
The Council of Brotherhoods.
Nine!
Which organizes the main Easter week events in Seville, commissioned renowned artist Salustiano Garcia months ago to create a painting promoting the celebration. Garcia unveiled the event, or the final product, Saturday.
Yay!
During an event attended by leadership of the Council of Brotherhoods in Seville, as well as the city's mayor, Jose Luis Sanz.
Yes.
The painter told local media at the time his version of a resurrected Jesus painted against a flat red background was modeled after his son, Horacio.
Oh, okay. Well, listen, that's Horacio.
Garcia's work was met with high appraisals and applause during the painting's unveiling.
Yeah.
In speaking with the media after the event, Horacio said he heard of people saying his father's portrayal of Jesus was very attractive. Thank you very much, he said.
Yeah. Could you imagine you do this whole piece of art, right? And the main criticism is, that guy looks gay. How stupid.
Criticism erupted following the event. Mm-mm-mm. Javier Navarro of the far-right Vox Party in Spain said on Daily Stormer Light that the poster was sought to provoke and did not advance the mission of encouraging faithful participation in Seville's Holy Week.
Fuck your mission. But you know what? It's art. It should provoke, you dumb fuck. Isn't that the point of art? To provoke? But what's it provoking you to do or feel? I mean, that's... Why do you care if Jesus is gay? Who gives a shit? I mean, you know, he was crucified. To me, that's more of a thing than the gayness, right?
Right.
I mean, I don't care who or who he's not fucking. He got nailed to a cross, supposedly. I mean, jeez.
The president of the religious freedom organization IPSE, known for its ultra-conservative Catholic views.
Ooh, sounds like fun.
Pablo has some German heritage.
Nein!
Pablo Hertfelder Garcia Conde.
Oh, oui, oui.
Said on Daily Stormer Light that the poster is offensive and an aberration. Does not correspond to what Holy Week in Seville symbolizes.
An aberration? Oh, wouldn't you know about that? These fucking Catholics have done so much horrible. That your history is an aberration.
And these are the craziest of the crazy Catholics.
Oh, yeah. Do you guys know Mel Gibson?
Right.
They probably... You follow him on LinkedIn?
An organization of Christian lawyers launched a petition requesting the removal of the poster.
Suck my dick.
And the resignation of the president of the Council of Brotherhoods.
Yes, we call for the resignation of gay Jesus.
In response to criticism, the painter told the Spanish newspaper ABC that his portrayal of Jesus is gentle, elegant, and beautiful, and he created it with deep respect. To see sexuality in my image of Christ, you must be sick, he said. Hey. There's nothing in the painting that has not already been represented in artworks dating back hundreds of years. Egg fucking exactly. Yes.
And if you think you could draw a straighter Jesus, be my guest, motherfucker.
Get that woman who did Ecce Homo.
Oh, my God. That's right. The fresca that was...
Yeah, Ecce Homo it's called, but she turned it into Ecce Homo, which means the monkey, because...
Yes.
They hired some local old lady who claimed she could restore some ancient fresco.
Right.
And she turned it into... It looks like a four-year-old did finger painting.
I would like to see what Jesus would look like as a monkey, too. Why not? Hire her. Ooh. Have her do another fresca. I mean, you know, God, who does this person? So to all these weird little fucking Dominionist Catholics, what do they want? Do they want an apology from this artist or something?
They want it taken down.
Okay, well, fuck you. I mean, don't look at it. What about that? But when you looked at it, I wonder what it made them feel. I mean, they don't like gay people, but then they saw their Jesus portrayed as gay.
Rafa Lopez, a well-known Spanish sociologist and political scientist, said those who are scandalized by the Holy Week poster in Seville do so not because it is a tradition, but because they are deeply racist and homophobic.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
And if I met Jesus, like, who are you fucking is not the first question. I'm going to ask, how did you turn that water to wine? How are you able to walk on water? That seems like a cool trick for parties.
Oh, yeah. Chris Angel can do that, too.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, yeah, that's true. Let's crucify that guy.
Insanity.
Yeah, you made Jesus gay, and now everybody's pissed. Shit, man.
Losing their minds. And, you know, people here, too, of course, whining about it.
Mm-hmm. Wait till these weird Catholics check out an episode of Will and Grace. They're going to lose their minds.
They really didn't like when Willem Dafoe played Jesus.
Yeah, listen, there were protests at movie theaters about that.
That's insane.
It's fucking crazy, man. You literally don't have to. If you want to avoid seeing Willem Dafoe play Jesus, that is a doable thing you can achieve.
Yeah.
Shit, I get, but they like Jim Caviezel's Jesus. Why was Jim Caviezel's Jesus better than Willem Dafoe's? Why?
Because Willem Dafoe's Jesus got laid.
Oh, yeah. Did Jared Leto's Jesus have sex or no?
I don't think Jared Leto played Jesus. No. He just looks like Jesus.
Oh, okay. Shame.
Well, he looks like this. This is painting's depiction of Jesus. Oh, my God. And a lot from the Renaissance.
Yeah, man. I mean, listen.
Remember the white bearded Kenny Loggins looking motherfucker Jesus.
That guy. I don't know what. I mean, you know, he's an immortal God. This Jesus. I don't know.
I guess.
Yeah. I mean, what do you want him to look like? It's like if I'm telling you, if you ask someone to do a painting of Jesus, and in the back of your mind, you're like, I hope he doesn't. You know, this guy didn't make Jesus look gay. Maybe you should tell that artist that. FYI, don't make him look gay or nothing.
And why did it take him 3 days to regenerate?
What do you mean? Well, it takes a while. You don't remember in Terminator?
If he's a super, uber powerful god that can resurrect himself, why does it take him 3 days?
Hey, man.
Is he just tired? He wanted to rest?
Yeah, it's exhausting.
Mary Magdalene, blah, 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 all the time.
Remember with the T-2000 from Terminator? The plasmid robot or whatever the fuck it was? He would get shot and then Robert Patrick. We'd get blown to pieces, and little pieces of Robert Patrick would be everywhere. And it would take so much time for all those little metal balls to form, to rebuild him. So that's the kind of thing we're looking at. Why didn't they do that part in Return of the Christ or Land of the Christ or whatever the fuck it was?
Land of the Christ.
Let's welcome to Land of the
Jurassic Christ.
Jurassic Christ. What dinosaur would Jesus be if he was? You would guess he'd be a Tyrannosaurus.
Oh, I think he'd be that one that opens his face up and
spits
at you.
The one that killed Wayne Knight.
Spoiler alert. Newman.
Newman. I'm going to get some coffee.
Ryan's going to get coffee, anyone, if you're interested.
Come on over.
Also, in the news, this one is quite hilarious. This is from the Miami Herald here in the state of Floridistan. Ron DeSantis and an allied super PAC spent a combined $160 million dollars over the course of his presidential big giant dump he took.
Hey, pudding fingers, you had all that money. Nobody had a spoon for you to eat that pudding. My God, it's how much again?
$160 million.
Wow, that's a lot of money. You could probably build one of those Jeff Bezos sailboats, a smaller version with that cash.
And that's just them. There were probably other super PACs that made their own. You know, they can't coordinate supposedly, but they wouldn't be included in this because they spent their money. You know,
who are these people that donate millions of dollars to campaigns and then the guy loses? I'd be like, hey, Ron. What the fuck? I gave you all this money and you still lost?
Yeah.
Well,
tough titty.
You owe me an apology.
Well, they can write that off on their taxes.
Oh, they don't care. They're probably donating money to a lot of people. And they're probably saying, well, you know, I donate X amount. If Ron wins, I'll get on this board. But if what's his face? Oh, God, who's that horrible guy? Vivek wins, I'll get on this board.
Jeez. Federal filings made public Wednesday underscore just how loosely the Florida governor's campaign and the pro DeSantis super PAC never back down spent their cash, even as donor interest in DeSantis's presidential ambitions tapered off and his poll numbers declined. They kept fucking spending. This shows who these idiots are.
They just wanted to spend the fucking money, right? They were like, fuck it, we're going to lose. We might as well have some dinners and take some flights. Let's go to every county in Iowa one more time. It's so much fun.
The rapid clip of spending ultimately earned DeSantis a distant second place finish in Iowa after pulling in $145 million last year. Never back down. Entered January with just $14 million left in the bank.
But is this the story of him misspending money? Probably. But it's also the story of
a loser.
All of these candidates, though, they all run like losers because they're vying for second place. They don't really want to beat the other guy, the former guy.
Well, they're hoping he'll be gone.
But they won't even But they won't even play to win. That's why they're burning through this money, because they're running an inherently shitty campaign to be second. Because if they wanted to be first, they talk about the shit he was indicted for. Maybe. I mean, who the fuck wouldn't use that in the history of anything? Do you ever remember some candidate getting in legal trouble and imagining an opponent not using it against them?
DeSantis's campaign spent nearly as much on travel in the fourth quarter of 2023 as it did on payroll. $833,000
Damn.
In the fourth quarter of him sending his ass around.
Right.
To go shake hands and babies.
But isn't it weird? Like, of course, I think you'll see this more. If this is how Republicans run campaigns, if they're afraid to go after the number one guy, then they're always going to blow through money at a weird race rate, right?
I guess.
Because they don't want to win. But they're campaigning like they want to. This is weird.
Big ad buys, canvassing. Millions paid, to consulting firms.
Oh, my God. If I'm, I'll consult you. Talk about Trump, the guy you're running against, and how he's getting sued and shit. Here's some consulting.
They paid tens of millions of dollars to firms controlled or owned by Jeff Rowe, the prominent Republican strategist who served as a top advisor to the super PAC. Filings show that Never Back Down directed at least $36 million to a handful of firms affiliated with Rowe. The group paid Rowe's main consultancy, Axiom Strategies, more than $220,000.
This seems like money laundering.
In the last half of 2023, as well as another $11.2 million to Vanguard Field Strategies, arm of Axiom.
That sounds like some Nazi shit.
So everybody's Vanguard. Making money.
But wait, let me understand. So the guy getting paid is the guy raising money for the super PAC.
One of the guys, yeah.
Yeah.
What a coincidence, huh?
It seems like a kind of a just
shady?
Yeah. It seems like he ran for president so some of these people could launder some cash.
Yep.
Or make money off the money they're raising. Is he still our governor?
Yeah, sure.
Really?
Well, for another
my God,
years.
Ron. And then what's he going to do? What do you think he'll do?
I think he will. When's little Marco up for?
Come on.
On the block again.
I don't like that trend of shitty Floridian governors come back and they be shitty senators. I mean, can we not do that anymore?
Yeah, he might try that.
I hate that.
I mean, he might try to become a rep. That would be kind of a step down.
Who's going to be our next governor? Matt Gaetz?
Gaetz's own Republicans are going to shank the hell out of him.
Damn, Matt.
He pissed off too many people.
No, absolutely.
I think
absolutely.
Even Daddy can't save him now.
Yeah. And Nestor's coming out with a book. Is that what you said?
Well, there was a rumor that it could be Nestor or it could be Mike Johnson's black son.
Okay. I forgot about that.
Yeah, the rumor is that one of these political adopted in quotes children.
Yes.
Is shopping a book around.
Why does my
So the speculation is it's either Mike Johnson's
right.
black son or Matt Gaetz's fake son.
Okay. I thought Nestor was kind of a buddy and not a son.
Well, true, but Matt Gaetz still said it was his son and that he raised him.
It must be weird for because he just got married, right? Didn't Matt Gaetz just get married in the middle of a sex scandal? It's like trafficking scandal.
And remember this, like the 16-year-old sister,
yes,
of the bride, accused Gaetz of trying to hook her up with some like 45-year-old creepy Republican guy.
Well,
she's 16 or 17.
Okay, fine, but he's Matt Gaetz. That's what he does.
Well, right. And she better hurry the fuck up. She's getting a little long in the tooth for that crap.
God, this state. People vote for some crazy motherfuckers around here.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh-wee.
They love it. Thanks for listening, everybody, and buying shit through the crabdiving.com/Amazon link.
Yay.
A lot of good economic news after the jobs report was crazy good.
Right. Is this mainly Taylor Swift's influence?
It might be. That bitch. That evil bitch. What did Dilly say? We're gonna go after that bitch.
Oh yeah, yeah. What's gonna happen at the Super Bowl? She's triggering some sort of
the Super Bowl is rigged.
Super.
That at some point, Taylor Swift is going to fly down.
Yes.
And take over the halftime show and announce that she's gonna mobilize all the Swifties to vote against Trump.
Woo! Well, I think they're going to. They're Swifties,
and
right?
For Biden. Well, yeah, and as many people have been pointing out, go ahead, MAGA idiots. You think the Swifties are going to join your side?
Yes.
If you ridicule and go after Taylor Swift and try to shit on her as much as you can, you think that's going to win them over and stop them from voting?
Right.
That will spur them even more, you dumb fucks.
What is wrong with a celebrity using her, you know, visibility to support a political candidate?
Exactly.
That's her freedom of speech. Exactly. That's her right.
Exactly.
It's like that Jason Aldean fuck is probably going to support Trump.
But John Voight, we're all supposed to oil ourselves up and allow him inside of us because he's a genius.
That's going to take a lot of oil, I think, and probably some machines or something.
They're celebrities. It's okay.
John Voight is still a maggot celebrity, you think, or is he just a guy that?
Oh no,
is he real popular?
He's royalty on their side.
Because I don't know. I've always assumed that we're the only one playing his shit. Because I don't know, they like that. They like even that.
John Voight?
Yes.
Well, yeah, they love whoever is dangling from one of Trump's testicle hairs.
Now that's saying a lot for his testicle hair. I don't think that could happen. You're so strong.
I have the strongest.
You must. John Boy, I mean. God, man.
Believe that the man that can help this nation, the one man that was ridiculed, destroyed as Jesus, Trump, can come back and save the American dream for all and make America great with the dignity, with the power of who she is.
God, Angelina Jolie is probably like... Oh, my God.
God, Angelina Jolie, is there not like a pill you can put in his fucking drink to fix your fucking dad?
You're assuming they're ever together?
I don't know. I mean, because this guy is particularly nuts.
Would you allow your kids near Grandpa MAGA Diddle?
Nine! No, of course not. No, I'm saying, I mean, but she can't go over there and like slip him something or other to turn his... He wasn't always like this, right? Or was he?
I don't think. No, are you kidding me? He was
the guy from Midnight Cowboy
in the 70s. Yeah,
70s.
He was a Studio 54 guy. Did metric shit tons of coke.
He was a good actor.
He is a good actor.
Is he still? I mean, really?
I think he's still good. Yeah.
Jeez, man.
And you know.
What was it? I wish Angelina Jolie would talk about this. Was it one day they went over and like, hey, Dad, what's going on? Whoa, what's with the goose stepping and all the Confederate flags? I mean, what happened? Was it like flipping a switch and he went full KKK or what?
I don't know. I just think he's I think he's been this way for a little bit, but Trump just really, just really tickled his
pushed
nethers
him over the edge, I guess. My God, John. What the fuck?
The as I said, it's Faithless Friday.
Jeebus.
Here you go.
Open the womb.
Oh, wait a second.
Oh, is this?
Let's let everybody else hear that. Let me press this button.
Open the womb of the women of America to give birth. I'm asking for 100,000 LGBT to be saved and transformed by the power of God. Something stronger. Lord, what the hippies were in the 70s, loose a new revolution that the LGBT would be saved and it would be a loosing of a power stronger than the rebellion. So today we pray in the name of Jesus, loose an outpouring of the fire, a baptism of fire that is stronger, stronger than all the culture.
Oh, my God.
Is that? Who is that?
Is that Mike Lindell? That is, and at this same event.
Yes.
Speaking.
Yes.
Was Mike Johnson. The National Gathering Prayer and Repentance.
What in the fuck? Does Mike Johnson, it bothers me that our speaker thinks that gay people need to repent?
Oh, yeah.
For being gay or something? God, listen, man. So what? Jesus could have been gay. What does it matter? What does this gay thing matter with these people?
Lord, everyone who is here comes in accordance right now based on the power that we have as Christians. And we tie the hands of Satan on all his demons and send them under the feet of Jesus. We, in the name of Jesus, we declare that each person, regardless of their race, nationality, language, will serve you and will praise you as Lord. Yay. And we will preserve this country the way you formed it and the way you envisioned it.
Right.
We declare this in the name of Jesus. Lo declaramos en el nombre de Jesús.
This is a congressperson.
No, it's not.
Representative Maria Elvira Salazar of Florida.
Stop it. That's our state.
Yes.
Who is she representing? Oh, my God. Lunatics.
Each person, regardless of their race, nationality, language, will serve you and praise you as Lord. We will preserve this country the way you formed it.
Who are you talking to, lunatic? Who is she talking to?
God.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Her friend in the sky.
That's right, Representative. Keep talking to Jesus. Nice.
Now, these are all highlights from this event that our fucking Speaker of the House was at. Was one of the main events.
This is an all hands on deck kind of thing. I mean, you just got to vote for not Trump and Joe Biden. You have to vote for Joe Biden. Do you know what I mean? These people are fucking crazy.
You got to vote the Republican fascists out, root and branch.
Father, I repent on behalf of America's leaders and innovators for compromising the integrity of our foundational covenant with you, making deals with our enemies through idolatry, witchcraft, false religions. And secret orders, secret societies.
Okay. Forgive our betrayal, Jesus. Back here live at the Waterfront Village with my friend, the
we return to covenant
Jonathan.
With
You're
you alone.
Jonathan just got
we
an
return
awesome
to Jesus.
Job. What do you think?
I like turtles.
Yeah.
Hey, all right, you're a great zombie. And good times here at the Waterfront
that guy's
Village.
Talking about
open
a zombie,
for the next 11 days.
Excuse me. Is this isn't Mike Johnson, right?
This is a prophetic intercessor, Lou Engel.
Okay, and speaking at the event our speaker's at.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is John Hamill.
Do you remember when who's that guy? The lunatics front, they had the reality show. Now I can't think of their names. They with the beards, and they were the Duck Dynasty.
Yeah.
Was this the thing the Duck Dynasty dude spoke at? Remember we play all those weird clips about how he
Oh, he was at...
He wants to cut somebody's dick off and put it in his mouth.
He was at CPAC and things like that. He might have been at this thing too, but I don't know if this thing was in existence there. Because this was... This takes place at that fucking Bible museum that's in downtown D.C.
Jesus.
That,
Hobby Lobby.
The Hobby Lobby art thief, arts and antiquities smuggler.
Yes.
Owns.
The Republicans are fucking weird, man. They're some weird.
They're crazy.
Shit
they're
going
out
on.
Of their fucking minds.
It's the very least you can say. It's like, I don't want a guy in charge that's believing any of this shit and talking to someone up in the sky. Okay?
Okay.
Yeah, really. This is not
we bind the demonic forces of religious haughtiness, resistance, haughtiness. And rebellion among God's people. And we say they shall bow their knees in contrite humility. We prophesy that intellectualists who refuse instruction will not trample the efforts of those who desire God's grace.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dateline NBC.
We say that the repentant and meek shall inherit this nation. We declare the lost shall be saved because of the repentance within the body of Christ and the church.
Take a fucking breath, dude. Take Jeebus's penis out of your mouth for a second and get a hobby. Find something fun to do with your time.
The event's main feature, this is the, again, the National Gathering for Prayer and Repentance at the Museum of the Bible.
Nine!
Hosted by Jim Garlow of Ooh. Well-Versed Ministries.
Oh, wow, what
and
a
Tony
get.
Perkins, that twat. From the Family Research Council.
What a lovely night of show business.
The hours-long event. Can you imagine listening to old white guy after old white guy droning on and on this?
Boy, I tell you what, it's hand check for the Speaker of the House, by the way. He loves this shit. Doesn't he?
The event's main feature was the prayers delivered by the myriad members of Congress, who took to the stage in small groups and delivered their short prayers in turn.
Oh, my God.
Among the participants was Representative Greg Stube of Florida,
Nine!
Who proclaimed, "Everyone in the nation must repent of immorality and their rejection Ooh. Of God."
Hey, repent this, motherfucker!
Representative Chris Smith Woo. Of New Jersey delivered a prayer entirely dedicated to railing against abortion.
Very cool, Chris.
Representative Randy Weber of Texas wept as he begged God's forgiveness.
My God. Clap for Meryl Streep. Forgiveness.
Oh, God. I wonder if there's tape of
for
this.
For what?
One.
What did he do that he's crying about?
He begged God's forgiveness because the nation, quote, "The nation has trampled on holy marriage
God.
And called it an alternative lifestyle."
Jesus Christ.
"I'm sorry, Lord."
No pun intended. Get a hold of yourself, motherfucker. Come on. you're in the government of the United States. You sound like a lunatic. Somebody give this guy an ibuprofen.
Again, open invitation to any right winger to come on and tell us what the differences are between these motherfuckers, this crazy shit, and what the Taliban says and what Al Qaeda says.
He's like, "We're getting there."
Please feel free.
"Well, I ain't much. We're getting there. We won't be just like it."
Mm-hmm.
Boo.
Open invite.
Right. Well, I mean, you could call in or something or send us a message.
Oh, don't come. Yeah, don't.
Yeah, don't come over here.
Not allowed.
Weirdo.
Is
this some crazy? What was? Did Mike Johnson get to speak, or is he just listening?
I wonder if there's audio of this motherfucker.
What a lunatic! Oh, that's our Speaker of the House watching this science fiction garbage. He's third in line to the presidency. Everything's fine in America.
I guess we don't have the audio of him. Of him crying at this event.
Oh my God! Hold yourself, dude. You fucking
Lord,
crying, man.
We're so sorry. These homosexuals running around.
Come on. There's no crying in the Bible, right? Jesus did cry, actually. Jesus wept.
There's no crying in baseball.
There's no crying in baseball. There's lots of crying in religion. My mistake.
There's some highlights from the National Gathering for Prayer and Repentance that saw a big fucking herd of moronic representatives from the U.S. House.
You know what I would do to make money? Next time that comes around, I am renting a funnel cake trailer, and I'm putting it right outside this fucking thing. And when it lets out, I am making bank, baby. I'm making all the fucking money.
You should also invest in Grindr.
We've melted down the servers, Captain!
I'll bet there was a few toe taps in the bathrooms at the National Repentance Day going on.
Yay!
Under the stall.
Right.
Because that's which is fine, but it's the hypocrisy.
Yes.
Pork away.
Right.
Also in L News.
Yes.
As you said, RIP to Carl Weathers. So sad. Carl Weathers, former NFL linebacker who became a Hollywood action movie and comedy star, playing nemesis turned ally Apollo Creed in the Rocky movies. Also faced off against Arnold in Predator. Taught golf in Happy Gilmore. Has died. Age 76.
You got all those movies. They got to do Happy Gilmore too. Those great movies. And they throw in that one. Okay. Man, that's sad. I love Carl Weathers. He's great. I loved him in Mandalorian.
Yeah, yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, very sad.
And he was great in Happy Gilmore.
R.I.P. Well, some people like
it. I guess, man. I don't know. Well, it's like you see Adam Sandler actually act in some movies, and you're like, oh, this is nice. That other shit. I don't know.
Also in the news, beautiful day here in the panhandle.
Yep.
Sorry if you got shit weather where you are.
Right.
Did you see Alaska's fucked right now?
No, I didn't see that. That sucks.
Like minus 41 in Juneau, and that's before the
wind chill.
The wind chill.
Man, that sucks. It sounds like Chicago.
Anchorage, like minus 20 this weekend. Woo. Or something like that tonight. Cray, cray, cray.
That's right.
Fucking cold. Okay, and we did the DeSantis story.
You lost all your money.
160 mil. And that's
fucking
just
loser.
That's just from that one super pack that he was affiliated with.
The crazy thing about this is, I'm sorry, there's no way DeSantis thought he was ever going to win because he never campaigned like he wanted to win. So you're taking these people, you're taking money from people.
What do you mean he never campaigned like he wanted to win?
He never did.
He was him.
No, he was. Yes, fine. No one has bullshit. No one's ever campaigned for president and ignored when an opponent gets arrested or has some shit go on and not use that. It's not genuine, his attempt to run for office. None of them are.
The only reasons he won here in Florida is because Trump endorsed him,
right?
And he let everybody know he was a racist.
Yes, yes.
What did he say? Monkeying around,
right? Oh yeah,
something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah. Yeah, but he took these people's money now, and he wasn't going to win. He knew that. He wanted to be second place. He thought it would go differently, and he'd be maybe Trump's VP or something. Like, he could run against Trump and not talk about the guy. It's so fucking stupid. It is the epitome of loserly.
Larry Kudlow, you remember him?
Yes.
Amazed he can speak with all the dried Trump cum on his lips that
right.
you'd think would be cementing his mouth shut. Larry, the perpetually wrong Larry Kudlow, by the way. It's like everything he's predicted, everything he says, like he's supposed to be some financial expert.
I like it when
some business expert.
Yeah, when our president's like, you know who I want in my cabinet? Everybody on Fox.
Well, the jobs numbers came out.
Yes.
The jobs report showed that the U.S. It was expecting to add around 140,000, 150,000 jobs.
Yes.
In the report. And it turned out the U.S. added 353,000 jobs.
Damn!
Lowering the employment rate to 3.7%.
Right.
Exceeding economists' expectations.
Yes.
And here is Larry Kudlow.
Woo.
On Fox Business.
Yes.
With his opinion.
Okay.
And let me make sure that this is on.
But about that, we had a blowout jobs report, more than twice the consensus expectation. Now, I know many of my conservative friends are trying to drill holes in this report. But you know what, folks? It is what it is. It's a very strong report. Not every economic stat should be viewed through a political lens. I've been in this business a very long time, and sometimes you just have to throw away the ballot box and just recognize the numbers. They are what they are. This was a very strong report.
Listen to how upset he sounds. These assholes, all these great numbers that are coming out about the economy, and the Republicans are losing their minds about it. They hate it. They literally want the American economy and the American people to suffer so that they can get their orange god back into the White House.
Absolutely. And they're doing anything they fucking can. It's nuts. I mean, you know, I guess the Biden administration needs to sell it better. I'm kind of tired of hearing that because, listen, if you're gonna have this kind of opinion, I mean, then you're gonna have this kind of opinion. This guy hates good news.
Yeah, but he's reluctantly telling everybody, look, hey.
Well, what would make
sometimes you can't even right. Even politics can't.
So you're saying he's actually saying if it was a bad jobs report, he would be happier.
Kudlow?
Yes.
Well, but I mean, he's not saying, hey, look at this great jobs report. Wow, this is really exciting for the economy. Right. No, he's like, now look, sometimes it's just good, right?
Yeah, I mean.
Sometimes we can't help it and bad things happen and the economy gets better is what he's saying.
Yes, I understand. What a dickhead.
Scumbags. I just don't know how much MAGA hates America. And doesn't give a fuck about the country. They just want to own the libs, and they want somebody that hates the same people they hate.
The thing is, this is instructional, because this is telling us how to win. We have to... you cannot legislate out fascism. You can't legislate away these people. These people have to go to jail because they're fascists. Like, Trump has to be in jail.
Yeah.
God damn. I mean... I hope we're doing everything we can to do that, because sometimes I think about Trump and it's like, do people really appreciate the existential threat he is to our country?
We do.
Yeah, we do. But this podcast does. But I mean, outside this podcast.
Well, and much of America does. It's just that there's a lot of big money and evil billionaires.
Yeah.
And corporations that... welcome a fascist leader.
Listen, I will tell you...
That sucks their dicks.
This will go back. All this shit is going to go back to when those cases started. That is the story of this whole fucking thing.
What do you mean?
What I mean is why... I said it earlier. Why Merrick Garland drug his fucking feet on some of these going after the higher tier people on January 6th? When these dumb fucking maggots stormed the Capitol. Yes, we know they're guilty. But why go after them first? To not seem political? At the expense of what? The shitty timeline we have now. I mean, it's we should be pissed off about that.
Also, we've got your
this guy's
on your Friday.
How's the documents case going? Is that even real? Is that even a thing we give a fuck about anymore?
Oh, well, Cannon is just punting that one.
God, it's like, of course. We are rolling over for these people. We're on their timeline. God.
Subway footlong cookies?
Oh, yeah, that's a thing. You can also get a churro there now.
Subway's cookies are so popular, the chain will no longer allow customers to order them online as it's struggling to keep up with demand.
Right.
That's good. Footlong cookies.
I've seen them there. It's just, you know what it is? It's
I've never heard of them. It's a big cookie.
It's a cookie that's really long.
Yeah. It's like six cookies together.
My God, this country, Subway's like, how do we make more money with what we have? We make one big long cookie. I love that.
So you can literally say, I just had one.
I want a turkey.
I just had one cookie.
I want a turkey club with a chocolate chip cookie crust.
Yeah.
You can't, wait. Does that mean you can get a sandwich with cookies? Like you get, it's a foot long cookie.
I mean, you probably could.
Put some meatballs in between two oatmeals.
Can I have a chocolate chip on wheat?
I think Subway figured out America.
The one of the other headlines, we're finding out the one of the reasons, or the reason, that the case in New York is suddenly put on hold.
Woo!
Is because what a shock. Alan Weisselberg.
Yes.
The former longtime CFO of the Trump Organization.
Right.
It's been discovered that he is now negotiating a deal with Manhattan prosecutors to plead guilty to perjury. He's admitting that he fucking lied.
He lied, baby. They all lie. They all lie.
The deal would require him to admit that he lied while testifying at Trump's recent civil fraud trial and in an earlier interview with the New York Attorney General's office.
Again, about time, right? This is about time.
The reported deal comes after a long pressure campaign by Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg, whose team sought Weisselberg's cooperation in several investigations into Trump's business and alleged election crimes. Trump is scheduled for trial in Manhattan in March. In the hush money case, the deal would likely not require Weisselberg to turn on his former boss, according to the report. Prosecutors are not expected to call him as a witness in the hush money case or the investigation into Trump's finances, and he may no longer be a priority for prosecutors.
You know, you can say whatever you want about how horrible these lawyers have been for Trump and how, like, you know, you have to at least admit that they have stretched that timeline out. I mean, really, what was the point of him lying and then admitting to perjury?
The potential deal is likely to strengthen Bragg's hand, the report added, because it could deter other witnesses from lying on the stand. It could discredit Weisselberg, who has disputed prosecutors' evidence relating to the hush money case. He previously pleaded guilty to a years-long tax fraud scheme, spent 100 days in jail on Rikers Island.
Whee!
The DA's office threatened to bring additional charges against him. If the two sides don't reach a deal, Weisselberg could be indicted again.
Right. But what is today's date? January, whatever the fuck.
February 2nd.
Yeah. These guys have to do is wait this shit out and nothing will happen to them. Trump will pardon this guy. Get him out of jail. It won't fucking matter. Unless he cooperates against Trump, then.
It's unclear whether he would plead guilty to a felony or misdemeanor, what the sentence could be. It's also unclear which statement brought about the perjury allegation. The reports accuse Weisselberg of lying under oath about Trump Tower triplex apartment, which is 10,996 square feet, but has been listed for years on financial statements as 30,000 square feet.
You know, I think I might have mentioned this before, but a long time ago on the Today Show, when Trump put that penthouse on the market, they, for some reason, I don't know why the fuck the Today Show decided they needed to do a piece on this, but they did. And you know who interviewed Trump in his penthouse about the listing? Matt Lauer. Talk about that.
Well, check out the ass on her. Yeah, wow.
Hey, has anybody mentioned Matt Lauer as his running mate? Why not? Trump Lauer 2024 or 20 whatever. Oh, it's 2024.
The I guess we'll see what's going on there. That's why Engoron. That's why Engoron, you know, we figured he would be issuing his decision today, but he's probably going to take a minute to see how this Weisselberg testimony may affect his case.
Okay. So everything's on hold.
Yes.
Perfect. See, that's the thing. It's just time. The election's almost here, man. It's going to be here before we know it. And I hope to God Biden wins.
It's unclear what prompted the delay, which came after a court-appointed monitor flagged a potentially fake $48 million loan, but some legal experts believe it could be related to the Weisselberg negotiations. It's the delay. Mm-hmm. One former prosecutor said, Engoron, one reason could be the news that the Trump CFO may be pleading to lying to Judge Engoron in a way to help Trump. The judge is waiting for that to support his decision. In other words, knowing that Weisselberg lied and may have lied to him might make his decision against Trump worse. He might go after Trump harder because of Weisselberg. And then there was also That did you know? I don't know if we covered this before, but like Weisselberg was ordered to like pay $2 million or something in penalties and court costs and stuff like that.
I don't remember that.
And then remarkably,
yes,
he received a $2 million severance package from the Trump Organization.
Damn. Wow. I mean, you know,
there was a report that Weisselberg's $2 million severance package from Trump Org, quote, required him not to cooperate with any law enforcement unless legally required to do so.
Well, that isn't that like, what kind of guarantee is that? I mean, that's generally why you would do anything with law enforcement, because of legal reasons. I mean, I don't know.
One legal analyst said, "That's stunning. I've never heard of such a thing. I don't think that's enforceable to say you can't cooperate with law enforcement. I mean, it certainly undermines what prosecutors are trying to do."
Yes, of course. It's $2 million fucking dollars.
Former U.S. Attorney Joyce Vance on MSNBC said, going after Weisselberg for these lies does send a message to other witnesses in the case. She said, "I've been involved in cases where we prosecuted someone for perjury in a grand jury, and you see the other witnesses who are trying to decide just how much they can get away with take note. So in this case, I think it's really important."
Right.
She said, "It probably serves to keep Weisselberg off the witness stand as a defense witness for Trump ever again. Because
yeah,
if he's convicted of perjury, he's going to fucking believe a word that old fuck says."
Yeah, that's true. He doesn't have any credibility. I mean, I can't imagine he would anyway. I mean...
So we shall see.
That's right.
Weisselberg perjury.
Yay.
This is, from Congress.
Nine.
Oh, look at this, past the top of the hour already. Time flying here.
That's
for
right,
the big
Ben.
Shoe. Beep. Representative James Comer, Ryan.
Comer.
Very sad for him.
Yeah, what's going on with that guy?
Because he's now being ridiculed for a recent fundraising appeal claiming that they hit a brick wall with campaign cash.
Get out those knee pads, Comer!
Representative Eric Swalwell, it really saddens me that he really had such a stupid and shitty presidential run.
Yeah.
With whoever told him stupidly to just keep saying, "It's time for a new generation. Time for a new generation."
Yeah.
Biden's old. Everybody's old.
Yeah.
Everybody's old. Everybody's old. It just made him look like an asshole. And yes. I think Swalwell is pretty fucking awesome.
Right, I do too.
He doesn't put up with any shit from these guys and trolls them 1,000 times better than their stupid, you know, "Oh, you fucked Fang Fang."
I mean, you know, these Democrats behave pretty poorly in their primaries generally, right? I mean, it was a mess.
So Comer sent out a fundraising email to MAGOT Central.
Yeah.
It says, "We have a major problem. Our January fundraising has hit a brick wall."
Well, Trump took all your money. His small donors, he got all their money.
And apparently Swalwell is on the mailing list because this email came to Swalwell. And Swalwell says, "No shit. How pathetic is this guy? His Biden investigation has collapsed, and now he's coming to me for money." "Sorry, Comer Pyle," he said.
Comer Pyle. God, that is genius. That's genius.
Although some people are complaining about him shitting on the legacy of Comer Pyle
by comparing
him to this diaper stain of James Comer.
Yeah, that is unfortunate. Fuck James Comer. Who votes for him?
Meanwhile, the reference that Swalwell is talking about is to the witnesses that were brought into the committee to testify.
Yeah.
All of them failing to deliver any information of any financial impropriety from the president or Hunter Biden, for that matter.
Right, right.
One witness, a friend and business associate of Hunter Biden's, revealed that his loans to the president's son came with restrictions and interest and were drafted by his lawyers. Wow. He told the committee he never got anything from the president due to the loans and never discussed the matter with him.
It sounds like a loan, like a normal fucking loan. Yeah, Jim Nabors was a better person than James Comer.
Oh, for what? Yeah.
Easily.
Jeez.
Most people.
Most people are, yeah. Most neighbors.
Yeah.
Jamar Nabors, is it?
That's right.
Comedian, for those that don't know, you can look up Jamar Nabors. He's pretty
very funny.
Very funny, yeah. Let's see. I've also got here. What was that? I did the Swalwell story. I'm going through a lot of short stories here.
Okay.
So I'm running out of... No, I'm not. Here we go. This is unbelievable.
Right.
Fucking Florida. Like, Florida and Texas really seem to be desperate in their attempts to really reach the bottom of the cesspool. As far as ridiculousness and legislation.
I mean, the immigration shit's insane.
A few days ago, good news.
Yes.
We should say. An Escambia County judge here in our county.
Yes.
Tossed out a lawsuit challenging the removal of the Confederate monument.
Oh my God.
That was taken down.
Yes. No.
Several groups, including Save Southern Heritage Inc. and the Ladies Memorial Association.
Nine!
Sued the city to attempt to block the monument's removal in 2020. The effort failed. But they continued pressing the lawsuit to try to force the city to put it back.
Put it back? if Trump is in office, they will be put... I guarantee
you. That's not the whole story.
Yeah.
Escambia County Circuit Judge Jan Shackelford ruled that the city did not violate any of the group's rights when it removed the statue, and the groups were not harmed by the removal of the monument. The judge said plaintiffs may be unhappy that they can no longer view the memorial, but that does not mean plaintiffs have been deprived of a right.
Ah, that's right, dumb shits.
Save Southern Heritage, Inc., Florida chapter, has been involved in challenging the removal of other Confederate monuments around the state. All of the cases so far, they lost. Every single one.
You know, the Save Southern Heritage shit, I mean, didn't that kind of go out the window when at the end of the Civil War, they just burned the whole place to the fucking ground? Right?
What do you mean?
At the end of this? Yes.
Yes.
So, like, what are they saving is my fucking point. Why didn't you save it then, you dumbasses?
Well, define heritage.
Yeah.
You're not prying my racism out of my cold, dead hands.
No, honestly, burning this South to the ground at the end of that war was probably the right move.
So that was the good news a few days ago.
Yay!
However,
yes,
the state Nazis.
Oh, okay.
Here in Florida.
Oh, we have state Nazis. Have how fancy.
The House State Affairs Committee approved a new bill.
Yes,
in a party line vote this week. That, quote, puts all historic monuments and memorials older than 25 years under state jurisdiction.
My God. Older than 25 years. So new shit that might promote more progressive things, we're not protecting those.
Oh, right.
Just the old nasty monuments.
And prohibits their removal. So the state essentially is assuming ownership of any monument or memorial older than 25 years of age.
Despite what that local government wants to do, the state is sweeping in like a bunch of Nazis.
The bill also requires any municipality that has removed one since 2017 to put it back, which means we have to get the fucking Jefferson Davis statue back.
You know what, though? I think they put it in that Catholic cemetery over there.
But they'll have to put it back.
Which is crazy to me. Why the fuck I don't know what Catholic Church it is, the one in Pensacola here. Why did they feel like they had to save that statue? Why are they crazy? The Catholics, though.
Yeah. Southern Catholics?
Oh, my God.
I mean...
throw it in the fucking
Northern
ocean.
Catholic... shit, my... I lived in one of the most racist neighborhoods in the city of Chicago.
Shit, man.
For Christ's sake. And it was all Catholic. Irish Catholic.
These people. Since 2017.
I just can't imagine that this is constitutional where the state decides it's going to swoop in and say, you have to have that monument there, whether you like it or not.
Well, listen, if Trump gets elected, we better be it. We won't have to imagine it. It'll be.
The bill also changes the law to allow groups who claim to regularly use the monument for memorial or remembrance to have standing to sue in state court. I don't like that. I don't like that Nathan Bedford Forrest statue's gone.
But who would they be suing? The government? Whoever?
The city.
They could sue the city.
Yeah. Or the county. Whoever the entity is that takes it away.
Well, you're going to sue the city. So someone could sue Pensacola because that Jefferson Davis monument was removed.
Yeah. And this is just, you know, of all virtually every argument on the conservative side is devoid of logic and
sure.
And moronic and rancid.
Yes.
But this one is just, it's so silly.
There.
This, we need to preserve the history, even the good and the bad. This one guy said,
but it's not preserving the history, is it?
It's
though?
Venerating. It
yes.
is not preserving history. You put, if somebody says we're putting a statue of you up in the park, that means you're going to be happy about that.
And it's not commemorating the Civil War. Those monuments were about the Jim Crow laws. Okay. They weren't about the Civil fucking War. What is it about that war that people don't understand? Like, they think it was not about slavery.
Right. Even did you see Nikki
God.
Haley even finally was willing to admit in an interview that
yes.
it was about slavery?
Whatever.
And she feels really stupid that
you
she
should.
Got caught off guard and she thought the guy was asking a more complicated question than he was.
Yes.
And she's like, of course it was slavery and stuff like
yes.
that. And
listen, Nikki Haley decided after all those people were shot to death in that church by that racist fucking asshole that it was finally time to take the Confederate flag from the capital of South Carolina, and you're gonna sit and then we're gonna sit here and believe that Nikki Haley, who was governor of South Carolina, the first state to secede, doesn't know that slavery was the reason we had the Civil fucking War. Fuck everyone. That's so stupid.
The sponsor of the bill in the Florida House, Representative Dean Black of Jacksonville,
nine,
says, history belongs to all of us. We need to learn good and bad from everyone. If we were to allow monuments to simply be purged from the land, then the day would come when people would say the things commemorated there never happened. Do you just use the word commemorated?
Hey, listen, nobody is ever going to forget that America had slavery, and nobody is ever going to forget that the Southerners had their ass handed to them by the Union.
And commemoration,
forget that.
Commemoration, definition, recall and show respect for someone or something.
I don't have to
celebrate by doing or building something. So they're even using the words they're using.
Yes.
They're admitting that it's commemorating, that it's venerating.
But admit that it's about the Jim Crow laws.
This shit.
That is the thing. It's the Jim Crow laws. These shittily built fucking statues, right? We did that story.
Yeah, yeah.
They're put together like shit. Is it?
Democrats in the House committee tried to add several amendments that would have altered the bill to not apply to Confederate monuments, specifically, including an amendment that would have exempted monuments honoring former slaveholders.
Yeah.
All of the amendments, of course, were defeated by the Republicans.
Oh, of course.
One of the Democrats said, we see these monuments are the first participation trophies. They were used to intimidate black people. And we know that. And the rhetoric of saying factual history and all Floridians own history. Well, how about we look at the standards that they're trying to teach little black children that black people benefit from slavery? How about we talk about factual history right there when that is actual state violence against children in the classroom that they are helpless to defend themselves?
Jeez. Man, fuck this state. This is a crazy story.
Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves said Tuesday he didn't have a comment.
Of course, you dumb shit.
I'm staying hyper-focused on all the things that are affecting us day to day. Certainly, yes, I'm aware of the result of the lawsuit from last week, but I'm staying focused on stuff that's impacting the city. In other words, I'm keeping my mouth shut.
Wow, and what opinion would you possibly have on that, you fucking brewery owner?
Not that there's anything wrong with owning breweries.
There's not one fucking thing wrong with it, of course not. But like, no, fuck that. Why is a brewery owner running this fucking city? You know how many, you know, this city is overran with breweries. They're all over the fucking place. And of course we pick a brewery mayor who's a big fucking pussy, who can't say that we don't need those. All you have to say, you fucking idiot, is that we don't support having those statues back in our city squares, right? How easy is that, you dumb shit?
And again, I can't imagine that would fly. And the cities will sue, and I can't imagine the... Look at how many things that DeSantis and the Florida Nazis here have done that even Florida courts are saying, you can't do that shit.
It's amazing that... This D.C. Reeves guy, our mayor, is so young, and it's very disturbing that he sounds like some entrepreneur fuck from Shark Tank. I'm staying hyper-focused on important shit.
Yeah, that's what he is.
What a loser.
Honestly,
that non-comment.
He's a, mega bro, probably.
Absolutely. And that comment says that. Absolutely. He doesn't know what to say about it.
They don't, it's a nonpartisan mayoral election here, right? Isn't it?
Thinly veiled. Party.
Yeah.
It's a thinly veiled nonpartisan mayoral election. D.C. Reeves endorsed Chip Simmons, our fucking piece of shit sheriff, and vice versa. Okay. Fuck him. You don't know how to feel about the Jim Crow laws, you dumb fuck. Where did you go to school, you idiot? Go make some beer. Go make a Hefeweizen or something. Can we have someone better? Shit.
So there you go. We might get Jefferson Davis back on Palafox, Ryan.
Oh, that's right. And you know what? Our mayor has not one fucking syllable to say it because I'm hyper focused on how do we get the homeless people out of sight and off the parks. Jesus Christ. That's so fucked up. That is the stupidest shit.
And you see, we're getting red light cameras.
Oh, really? Yeah. Of course. Oh, yes. We ain't doing shit. You know what? People of color in this city, per his non-comment, can fuck off. And people that drive cars can fuck off. They just want to fucking nickel and dime us. The majority of this budget in Pensacola goes to these fucking pigs. God, what a fucked up city this is.
Let's see.
God damn. D.C. Reeves. Boo! The Civil War was bad. Slavery bad. How hard is that?
There's another story here about Roberta Kaplan, the lawyer for E. Jean Carroll.
Yeah.
Said Trump threw papers across a table, stormed off during a deposition at Mar-a-Lago after learning that his legal team had agreed to provide her lunch.
What an amazing story.
Kaplan, who's represented clients in high-profile cases against Trump, including E. Jean Carroll, was on George Conway's podcast. Oh, by the way, I think you mentioned it on the show.
Yeah.
Even if you didn't. You were listening to some of Michael Steele's podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
Specifically when he has Steve Schmidt on.
Yes.
Well, the other day when I went to the dentist, I listened to the most recent one.
Yes, is it good?
It was really with the two of them. Yeah, they don't pull punches
Steve Schmidt
at all.
He's a big proponent of, hey, what's taking Merrick Garland so fucking long? It's so Steele, and it's pretty fucking infuriating. I mean, goddamn. It's a good podcast, man.
Right. It's a Michael Steele podcast, Who's on America's Side?
And they're the titles of their shows. Like, one is titled.
Well, that's it. Where's the one?
We see you, bitches. That's the title of one of his podcasts.
Yeah. Another one has motherfucker in the title, doesn't it? Or something
Steve
like
Schmidt
that, or?
Sounds high in one of them. It's very funny. He keeps saying, over and over again, he'll go, right, right, right. It's pretty good.
Quick take, Who Beats Trumpism was the Who's on America's Side, another one with Steve Schmidt.
Yeah.
But they're pretty hilarious.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I'm talking about that shit. And by the way, fuck them both.
Yeah.
For helping create the atmosphere that gave us Trump.
And Steele recruited
Nikki
Haley.
Let's not forget both of those motherfuckers.
Steele recruited Nikki Haley, and Schmidt, what did he recruited Palin, right?
And Nikki Haley, or Michael Steele, I mean, was in charge of the GOP. He was the GOP chairman throughout Obama's tenure, when that bullshit was going at Obama's direction.
Right.
And he sanctioned all that shit, so... You know, I'm glad he's seen the light, but also kind of fuck him.
Yeah, and fuck Steve Schmidt for Sarah Palin. I mean, that was a bad
one. Or thank you for Sarah Palin.
she was just a little early, right?
Not that Obama wouldn't have won anyway, but I think Sarah Palin helped torpedo McCain's chances.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? I mean, I just feel like, why doesn't Sarah Palin move to Colorado and run for Congress or something?
So Trump, anyway, when he found out that she said that she rejected Trump's request that they work through a lunch break because he believed the deposition was a waste of my time. She said, and then you could kind of see the wheel spinning in his brain. You could almost see it. And he said, well, you're here in Mar-a-Lago. What do you think you're going to do for lunch? Where are you going to get lunch?
Jeez.
And she said that his attorneys had graciously offered to provide her team with lunch, which is a common civil practice between opposing legal teams.
Civil. But you're dealing with a barbarian.
Oh, yeah. She said, quote, at which point there was a huge pile of documents, exhibits sitting in front of him. He took the pile and threw it across the table and stormed out of the room.
What a bitch.
And then he yelled at Alina Haba.
I love this.
She said he really yelled at Alina for that. He was so mad at Alina. Oh. He came back in and he said, well, how'd you like the lunch?
What was the lunch, by the way?
And I said, well, sir, I had a banana. You know, I can never really eat when I'm taking testimony.
A whole banana, Donald.
He said, well, I told them to make you really bad sandwiches, but they can't help themselves here. We have the best sandwiches.
Is that real? Did you make that up?
No, that's what that's what she said that he said.
God. This guy is crazy, man. I'm going to make you bad sandwiches.
I tell them to, but they won't do it.
What would that even be? What would a bad sandwich
be? I don't know.
You weird fucker.
In a separate anecdote, she detailed the end of the deposition when she was set to leave when Trump said, see you next Tuesday.
You know, there's one thing I do like. I like the idea of Trump people working on cases for him working through lunch. I mean, that would make everything go faster, right? I mean, maybe the DOJ should stop the lunch breaks or some shit like that. Clickety-clack, guys. Tick-tock.
Well, I can't believe she didn't know what it meant.
What do you mean?
When he said, see you next Tuesday, Roberta Kaplan said she doesn't know that joke.
Well,
and she said, I wasn't on the joke, so I had no idea. Then we got in the car and my colleagues are like, do you know what that means? And I'm like, no, what are you talking about? They tell me and I'm like, oh my God, thank God I didn't know, because had I known, I would have gotten pissed.
Of course.
And there's no question I would have gotten angry, she said.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, listen, man.
He basically called her a cunt.
But of course Roberta Kaplan doesn't know that. She's serious. She's serious and her team is serious. And you know what? E. Jean Carroll and her team, they're doing all they can to go get Donald Trump. Let's use them as an example.
Oh, yeah.
They're good. They're fucking
heroes.
We need more. We need our Justice Department to work as hard as they are.
So he yelled at Alina Haba for providing lunch.
Yes.
For the lawyers, the opposing lawyers. Can we put arsenic in it?
And she only had a banana. What do you have? What's on the lunch menu at Mar-a-Lago, I wonder? Probably like chicken fingers.
Oh, yeah. Provigil.
Jalapeno poppers. Provigil. Is that a bit different?
You can
kind?
Hit the Adderall buffet.
What kind of white dust do you want to snort? Right.
We have a fentanyl fountain.
The pool's leaking all over the document server. What is happening at that fucking hotel, man?
Oh, and you talk about Dr. Feelgood. I mean, you know there's got to be...
Oh, stuff there?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course. Please.
Did you see, you know, I didn't pull in the story. I just saw it right before the show. There's something about the FBI may have missed a hidden room?
Yes.
At Mar-a-Lago?
Well, it was
did
locked.
You see that story?
It was a locked room. That I think I did. They just didn't go in because it was locked.
Yeah, here it is from the HuffPo. In its search for classified documents at Mar-a-Lago, the FBI might have missed several rooms, including a closet and a, quote, hidden room in Trump's residence.
Listen, take me along next time, or somebody, or anybody. How do you miss rooms, man?
An ABC News report suggests more documents may still be at Trump's Florida estate, almost 2 years after the feds recovered over 300 files.
Oh, my God. We can't bring ourselves to give a shit that this guy, this orange fuck, stole our secret documents. You can't even care to fit. How do you get in the locked door of a closet?
One of the rooms, a closet, was locked on the day of the search. When FBI agents couldn't readily find the key, they opted not to break it open.
My God, this story is pissing me off. These fucking cops will do anything, any minute of the day, any hour of the day, to fuck with your civil rights, except if it's Donald fucking Trump. And you know what? Hey, listen, the only reason I'm saying this is maybe there were some FBI agents there that weren't totally on the up and up. And said,
possible, yeah.
I mean, why would you not search the locked door? What the fuck?
Sources told ABC they believe Trump had the lock changed while an attorney he'd hired was occupied in another part of the property looking for documents there. Remember, they sent that one attorney.
You know,
he's like, oh, go check this room. And meanwhile, Trump had, right hand man's name?
I forget. Neota? Nauda?
Yeah. Walt.
Walt?
He had Walt and some other toady shipping, moving boxes around while they sent the lawyer to that one room and said, no, everything's in there.
You know, this story makes me honestly think that we don't want to beat Trump. Like, we want him to win the presidency so he doesn't go to jail and doesn't get in trouble for any of this shit. For some weird, fucked up, sadistic reason, we must surely think that. Because when the FBI gets a warrant to search something, does that include doors that are fucking locked?
Sure.
What kind of lazy FBI cop bullshit is this? Trump, these are cops behaving like fucking cops, by the way. Asleep at the wheel, you little fucking piggies.
Trump also had a hidden room adjacent to his bedroom that went unsearched, sources told ABC. A small door leading to the room was reportedly concealed that day by a large dresser and a big TV.
Oh, my fucking God. My God.
A spokesperson for Trump didn't respond for a comment from HuffPo.
Good job.
If the report is true, securing another search warrant wouldn't be a simple affair. The feds would have to show up-to-date evidence that the rooms they missed currently contain criminal evidence.
The rooms they missed. I am waiting to find out what criminality went on, because I don't believe that. I do not believe cops, that's who these FBI fucks are, would just not want to search a locked room because they don't feel like it. Fuck that. Fuck that. They lied. Yeah. There's some lying going on. There's some payoffs going on. And this is bullshit. God, fuck off. They didn't search the lock. Oh, this is locked. Let's not search the locked door. God damn.
And they'll shoot.
Fuck yourself.
They'll shoot any brown person the drop of a hat.
And what kind of... We know that they have all kinds of technology. They can see where doors are hidden behind. Please. These cops. What are we supposed to feel about this? This says the Justice Department doesn't care about prosecuting Donald Trump, and he's going to beat this shit, and he's not going to go to jail, and he's going to win, and everything's fucked. That's what this feels like.
Well, I don't think that's the case, but I don't
mean to jump to conclusions, but when the FBI is just so happy to toss anybody's shit, to violate anybody's fucking rights, and then they have a warrant to go in a locked door and they don't, what in the fuck is their problem? They're on the take. That's what that shit is. My God. Lazy assholes. Criminal asshole. Lazy. That's not laziness, right?
I mean, I can see missing what a hidden door that was behind a wardrobe and a TV, but
fuck that.
But a locked door for a closet. I kick that motherfucker in. Don't hesitate. Pay $50 to fix the lock if you have
to. You're an FBI agent and you have a warrant to search the house of someone who is absolutely concealing some shit, and you're telling me that you, as an FBI agent, wouldn't be able to find a fucking door hidden behind a dresser. Get the fuck out of here. That is too stupid. I can't imagine. God, come on. This is laughable. Go fuck yourself. That's bullshit. There's some bullshit going on. God,
what is this story? A Vermont mother wanted to teach her 14-year-old son a lesson after he came home with e-cigarettes he stole from a gas station. So she called the cops on him.
Oh my God.
Guess where this goes.
She allowed that kid, underage kid, to get an e-cigarette. So she's the criminal, isn't she?
Well, he stole them.
Oh, he stole them.
So she called the cops on her own son to teach him a lesson.
What an asshole. That's nice. Did they find the e-cigarettes or did they hide them away behind the locked door?
But guess where this goes?
Where
do you think this story might go?
I don't know.
A mom called police on her own kid.
Oh, the kid's going to get shot by the cops?
Close. What happened that evening is the basis of a lawsuit by the mother alleging that this is Burlington, Vermont.
Yes.
Police used excessive force and discriminated against her unarmed son, who is black and has behavioral and intellectual disabilities. After he failed to hand over the last of the stolen e-cigarettes, two officers physically forced him to the ground. He was handcuffed and pinned as he screamed and struggled.
Yes.
The teen was eventually injected with ketamine.
Oh my God, that's what happened in Colorado, right?
That one guy, I forget his name, that the police and the inept first responders, the paramedics murdered him.
Right.
For the crime of walking. Remember, his crime was he had a jacket on when it was warm.
That's right.
And he was listening to music headphones, and couldn't hear the police at first when they were yelling at him, telling him to stop.
Fuck these cops. And that's the story of this kid with the e-cigarettes. The mom, of course, shouldn't call the cops on her son.
Yeah, what mother does that now with these police? What's wrong with you people?
This story is about the cops. This story is about the 100%, cops fucking with that kid, though. What is wrong with these
people? What parent
these
days is stupid enough to think that you're going to call the cops and they're just going to scare him straight?
What an impressive day for law enforcement on the Crab Diving Podcast. Hi, I'm the FBI. Yeah. I'm not going to search any locked doors. There could be nuclear secrets in there. Oh, yeah. Beat the shit out of that kid whose mom called the cops. Beat him up.
She said the ACLU is helping her sue the fuck out of these thugs. The police chose to respond to my son with unprovoked violence and use of force when they could and should have followed their own procedures and used safe, supportive methods.
You know, what's that? What's that?
Police procedures. They don't follow procedures.
Fuck you, piggies. You little piggy fucks.
This is, where am I reading this from? Associated Press says, the event underscores the need for sufficient police training in dealing with people with disabilities and mental health challenges. Never call the police.
Yes, don't.
Never call the police, except in very, very specific circumstances. But if someone's having a mental health crisis or something like that,
call the cops and shoot them.
Don't call the police unless you want that person killed.
Right, right. Because you're asking somebody to come over and solve a problem with a gun because that's all they got. Don't use your brains.
A growing number of U.S. communities are responding to nonviolent mental health crises with clinicians and EMTs now instead of paramedics instead of police.
Yeah. What stops a cop from showing up? Just looking around to see, is there anything I can pin something on anyone in an ambulance?
Burlington police had visited the home before and were aware of the teen's disabilities.
Right. So why did they act like this?
This mother has fostered a child who has developmental and intellectual disabilities since he was 5 months old. She adopted him at age 2. Body camera video shows two officers talking calmly to the teen sitting on a bed. His mother tells him to cooperate. She goes through drawers and finds most of the remaining e-cigarettes, tries to get the last one from him. Officers say if he turns over the e-cigarettes, they'll leave and he won't be charged. He doesn't respond. After about 10 minutes, they move in to forcibly remove the last of the e-cigarettes from his hand, pulling his arms behind his back and pinning the teen against the bed.
Let's do that to you, you fuck. Let's get you pinned on a bed with your fucking hands behind your back and see how you fucking like it. That's what these...
The lawyer says there wasn't any urgency here. There wasn't any emergency where they had to force a physical confrontation.
Yeah, yeah.
So the lawsuit is seeking punitive damages against the city. Congratulations, taxpayers. Another payout you're going to have to make.
That's right.
Because of the poorly trained, corrupt thugs in blue.
My God. These fucking cops. Go fuck yourselves. Remember?
Ketamine. They had to inject him with ketamine. This is scary shit.
Is that how often does that happen?
Oh, here it is. Elijah McClain.
Yeah.
Let's see. The lawsuit accuses officers of treating the teen differently because they perceived him as disproportionately aggressive because he's black.
You know,
it also alleges that injecting the 14-year-old with ketamine was a race-based disparate treatment that wouldn't have happened had he been white. Quite probable.
God, so black people get ketamine.
I'll bet if there's a study.
Yes. Oh, sure.
That's undoubtedly... they're overrepresented. The use of ketamine has come under scrutiny, as it well should. In Colorado, two paramedics were convicted late last year for injecting Elijah McClain, that's his name, 23-year-old black man with an overdose after police put him in a neck hold and he later died. Meanwhile, a city spokesman said that Burlington investigated and found the firefighters, the fire department EMTs, and officers acted in city policy. We investigated ourselves, as typical, found ourselves innocent.
Good job, guys. Good fucking job.
After the investigation, the mayor ordered the Burlington Fire Department to review the use of ketamine.
Oh, yeah, review. You're going to have the fire department review their use of ketamine, too.
The state has updated protocols to require doctor permission for all sedation of patients with combative behavior, which wasn't at the time, although responding paramedics did get a doctor's permission, allegedly.
What is combative behavior, by the way? Is that behavior that you just don't understand because you're misinterpreting, like... Well, I don't know, somebody being nervous?
This kid was sitting on his bed. He just refused to hand over an e-cigarette. So they tackled him, put a spit hood on him, pinned him to the ground, and injected him with ketamine. God bless America.
Shit, man. This country is a fucking joke. It's a joke. And these cops are fucking terrorists. You won't even check a locked closet door, you dumb FBI fucks. That is insane. Surely someone loses their job. They must have a record of FBI agents that were on the scene during that search that refused to go in the locked door because they're fucking idiots. Why don't they get fired? They left potential nuclear secrets behind a locked door in the closet they could have got in because they're too lazy and they don't give a fuck. Why are they not fired?
Meanwhile, after the officers got the e-cigarette from him, in their police reports, they said he tried to kick them and punch them. But the lawsuit says the teen, as he was attacked, reflexively rose from the bed, flailing his arms haphazardly in a response typical to individuals with his disability and trauma history who are placed in unnecessary physical restraints and denied space. These monsters have no empathy. They're out to shoot, kill, beat, and bully anyone they can.
Oh yeah,
and drag them off into police. Drag them off to jail, and then go home and masturbate repeatedly over it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's accurate. What the fuck, man? I mean, why are you not gonna? It's like that locked door. I can't stop thinking about that. That is the. Right. Most that should be people going out in the street and burning shit to the fucking ground.
What locked door?
The closet door. All they give a fuck about are arresting people and fining them and all this other shit. But when you have an opportunity to actually do something good, you know, like, oh, I don't know, retrieve some nuclear secrets. You're too lazy. You don't care. You're on the take. Doesn't matter. Same.
Yeah, our policing is our entire justice system is a sewer.
It's shit
from top to bottom.
And you know, we know this, and then we are supposed to sit here and think like that's happening, and at the same time, we're supposed to believe that our justice system is doing everything they can to protect us from the fascist Donald Trump. I would hope so, but it doesn't seem like it. Shame on you fucking guys for dragging your feet and all that shit. God damn it. Do you give a shit? That makes me think, does the FBI give a shit about getting Donald Trump?
Let's see. We got some time left here in the big old shoe.
Door's locked. It's not even a... How many heist movies do you see where people are like, we got to crack the safe? What do you think you needed to crack that to open that locked door?
A swift kick.
When animals get pissed.
When animals get pissed, everybody. Got a couple of stories here.
Yes.
This is Australia.
Nine!
Do you have a guess?
Ah, yeah. It's a shark attack.
Could be snake.
No.
Could be spider.
Attack. I'm going to go with the box jellyfish.
A 29-year-old Australian woman was bitten by a bull shark in Sydney Harbour Monday.
They have those there? I thought they just had great whites.
After Lauren O'Neill's right leg was bitten and severely injured, surgeons had to work through the evening to try to avoid amputation. Kayaker and swimmer was attacked around 7:45 p.m. after she swam in Elizabeth Bay.
Oh, we've covered the Elizabeth Bay shark attacks before. I know we have.
She began yelling in the water. Local civilians rushed to her side to assist her out, provide first aid.
Yeah.
A witness who's a veterinarian was credited with possibly saving her life.
Wow.
For applying a tourniquet to the leg.
Did the veterinarian do anything to help the shark to make sure the shark was okay in the attack?
Toothpicks. Gotta have good dental health.
I hope you brush your teeth after you ate me.
From the knee down, she was completely open. It was like the worst horror movie you've ever seen.
Yay!
Said the vet.
God damn.
This is somebody else. This is a friend.
Yeah.
She was pretty lucid through and responsive. She just kept saying, thank you for calling the ambulance. I'm grateful, that sort of thing.
Right.
It appeared that she was out of it and didn't know the extent of how bad her leg was. She was losing a lot of blood.
Yes.
The water around her was all red when she got out of the water.
Jeez.
First responders transported her to St. Vincent's Hospital. She underwent hours of extensive surgery, but is expected to recover. They did save the leg.
Yeah, and she'll be back kayaking soon, maybe, hopefully.
Let's see. I don't God have. Damn, man. It says
in your kayak 1 minute, and the next minute, chomp, chomp, chomp.
Dr. Amy Smoothie. What a great name.
I'm going to turn you into a smoothie.
A New South Wales Department of Primary Industries shark ecologist told Sky News.
What does that mean?
She's a shark expert.
A shark ecologist.
Said this species of shark is typically more active around dawn or dusk and that you should avoid murky waters during low light periods.
No shit. Well, you know, they're saying avoid the murky waters because you can't see them. That doesn't mean that they won't be there when it's not murky.
Our advice is to avoid shallow areas adjacent to steep drop-offs. And also after a heavy rain when the water's murky, bull sharks are a great ambush predator. They've got the senses and they can detect us when we can't see them.
It sounds like they don't even have to be great at it. They could be less great at it. What kind of person does a story about a shark attack and then has to throw like a weird-ass compliment to the fucking perpetrator of it? Fuck you. It's like saying this Nazi did a hate crime.
We're quite impressed that they were able to sneak up on her like that.
Impressive Nazi over there. God. Good job, shark. What the fuck?
Let's see. I've got so many. Thank you to people who send these. I just don't get to all of them.
I love how this person, though, this person is like telling you what kind of water to stay out of. And it's basically all water. The person says, after it rains, if it's shallow water, next to deep water. If it's deep water, if it's murky. I mean, just say stay out of the fucking water, right? I mean, when is the best time to be in the water? Why don't you tell me that when I'm not going to get attacked? Never.
Thailand?
Snakes.
That your final answer?
That's right, Pat.
An army of thousands of monkeys have run a city in central Thailand into the ground.
Get your damn dirty hands off me, baby.
Several stores and businesses have been forced to close.
No shit, man.
And relocate.
That's not bullshit.
Investors are halting investments, and shoppers have all but entirely vanished from the city of Lopburi.
Yeah, I don't want to get fucking attacked by a monkey.
The Thai city, once a thriving hub for tourists who flock to see the city's wild macaques, has now been overrun by 4,000 strong army of the little beasties that have taken control.
What are you doing? How many?
4,000.
I'm just trying to figure out.
You should see the pictures. It's insanity. Holy shit.
They're stealing from Planet of the Apes. That's a Marky Mark movie they're stealing from. That's crazy, dude. I bet
some locals
there.
Have fled. Others have been forced to barricade in their own homes in a desperate bid to protect themselves from the rampaging monkeys.
What are you supposed to do? What if one's attacking you? Are they protected? Are you allowed to kill them? Or can you?
Lopburi local. Oh my God. Okay. Kuljira Tai Chawatanawana.
Okay.
Tai Chawatawanana. Taechawatawanana is the person's last name.
Can I buy a vowel?
Tai Chawatanana. No. Tai Chawatanawana went on to say that she has had to cover her terrace to prevent the mob from raiding her home in search of food.
Dude, these monkeys are... this is a real problem.
The town has had to establish several no-go zones.
For what?
Throughout the city, as some of these areas have been completely taken over
by
warring rival monkey gangs.
You know, thank God, if this was us and our fucking shit government here in Pensacola, where they can't even decide that civil war was bad... Boy, I'm glad we're not having to deal with this. We'd be fucked. Nobody could handle it.
Let's see.
Man.
Female monkeys have the ability to reproduce twice a year.
Wait, you're saying that they've had to cede territory to the monkeys?
Yeah.
They're ran out. The human beings have been ran out of homes, businesses in certain areas of the city because those areas are controlled by the macaques.
You know what happened? The pandemic, because it stopped tourism. So all the macaques lost their food source when everybody would feed them.
Yeah. See, that was a problem, guys.
It says these monkeys are hungrier and more aggressive than the previous ones.
Oh, perfect.
They take anything they can.
Yeah.
Combs, mirrors. If I leave the food unattended, they steal food. They said the, some ska crossy Janhon, stall seller.
Okay.
Supakarn Kayawachat.
Get out your lights.
A government veterinarian said they're used to having tourists feed them and the city provides no space for them to fend for themselves. With the tourists gone, they become more aggressive, fighting humans for food to survive. They're invading buildings, forcing locals to flee their own homes.
That this monkey chased someone out of their home.
The monkeys can now be found everywhere, sitting on rooftops, ready for ambush. They run riot on the roads and even rob passing cars.
This government has failed the people. You know what? This is an easy thing. Move to Thailand, run for office, and here's the promise you have to make. We're gonna beat the macaques, I guess. The politics in Thailand and this place right here, very simple. How do we get the monkeys out of the city?
Well, Thailand's Department of National Parks has launched a sterilization program.
Fail!
In hope that they can curb some of the rapidly growing population.
Good job, by the way, to let it get to this point, guys. Maybe you should have said something to these dumb fucking tourists feeding these guys. You know what I mean?
Back in 2020, authorities were able to use fruit to lure several hundred monkeys into cages to sterilize them. At first, they were successful catching about 500 monkeys on a daily basis, but the monkeys have caught on.
Yes.
They say that, quote, as soon as they see our faces, they remember. They know what we're going to do. In some groups, the head of the group tries to stop their clan from going into the cage.
See, like, this is Planet of the Apes shit. They're organized.
And now they can't even catch 20 a day.
And how many are there?
They were catching 500
a day. But they're reproducing, right?
There's 4,000 plus
of them. There's no fucking way. Hey, you guys, leave. You done. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Give it to them.
I mean, dude, those have they killed any people? Those monkeys? They could.
That I know of, but dude, you saw monkey, the numbers of them, right?
That monkey could be like, you know what? I'm bored. I'm going to go rip that guy's dick off.
That's fucking crazy.
And the monkey could be like, yeah, I think I'm going to do that. And he'd do it. Macaques.
Fucking crazy.
That is nuts, man. That's like, it's like the only issue of that town, right? I mean, every story in the paper has to be about the macaques, I guess. We can't go outside.
This is an older one that was sent.
It's hard to think about that there'd be another story to talk about other than the Planet of the Apes is starting in Thailand.
Well, you'll like this one though.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
This combines a couple of the stories. This is from December, so a couple months old. There was a fugitive kangaroo on the run in Canada.
On the hop. Yeah, in Canada.
Had escaped while being transferred between zoos, was spotted hopping down the side of a highway by bewildered motorists. Can you imagine driving in Canada and there's a kangaroo bouncing down the highway?
Somebody put some LSD in my coffee, eh?
Durham Regional Police Service said they received an unlikely call from a member of the public reclaiming to have seen a kangaroo hopping around in Oshawa, 40 miles east of Toronto.
Right.
The officers were dispatched. They were briefed on the best way to subdue a kangaroo. You grab it by its tail.
Yes.
One sergeant said, so in accordance with best practice by the handlers, the officers just actually grabbed it by the tail, and they were able to keep her safely detained in the area. Only one of the officers got struck in the face during the apprehension. The kangaroo punched the officer square in the face.
Why didn't the cops just shoot the kangaroo? That's what they would have done. Why do you guys shoot
I think it's a light-colored kangaroo. Oh, okay. So.
I'm still thinking about these monkeys running around. I mean,
officers,
so you just can't go outside because the monkeys will get you. Fuck that. It's crazy.
Finally, the kangaroo gave up and surrendered to police.
Do you think?
Said she then received a ride in one of the canine kennels back to the zoo.
Right.
And was being checked out. Was being checked out by the vet, make sure she's okay. But the she got a good right cross in on one of the cops.
Good job.
He was trying to take her down.
The kangaroo's telling those police dogs and that canine, you guys got to stop. You're on the wrong side of this shit.
Look at the time. So that's there's our animals get pissed. Thanks to everyone that sends them in. I'm sorry it takes me so long to get to them.
It just seems like in wherever this is in Thailand, you just look out the window. He's like, shit. I don't think I can get to the convenience store. There's not a clear path. I mean, how do you get groceries? I guess you DoorDash everything.
It looked like a January 6th scene.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
What else do we... Well, it's just about time to go.
Woo.
I do have one more quick...
Those macaques could get in that locked door at Mar-a-Lago, probably.
one more quick... Quickie story.
Yay. Oh. Ooh, Rudy. Jesus Christ.
Former Mayor Rudy Giuliani.
Nine!
Creditors are not taking his financial statements filed in bankruptcy court at face value are planning on hiring a forensic accounting firm.
Nine!
To look into his finances.
Oh, yes. Good luck, guys. Please.
The former New York City mayor last week claims he only has a net income of $2,300 a month.
Wow.
After more than $40,000 in monthly expenses.
God damn it, Rudy.
That he filed.
What are you spending the money on?
The filings detail assets worth well north of $10.6 million against liabilities for over $150 million. Remember,
damn.
148 of that is what he owes Ruby Freeman and Shay Moss.
The macaques are coming for you. Oh, shit.
So they're not believing it.
Well, yeah.
They're thinking he's lying about his financial disclosures.
Of course.
And they're hiring a forensic accounting team.
Right.
To check into it.
Well, you know, I think Rudy Giuliani is a liar.
How dare you?
I believe that. That's the only truth coming out of him.
We got to get out of here. Thanks for listening, everybody.
That's right. Thank you for listening to the Crab Diving Podcast.
Back next week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, from 2 to 4 p.m. Pacific, 5 to 7 Eastern. Don't forget, we're always available at your favorite podcast app. Or at crabdiving.com. Thanks for buying shit through the Amazon link, crabdiving.com/Amazon, and use the banner on the webpage. It does really help out. We appreciate it. Check out what Ryan's doing at Rated R Comedy on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Daily Stormer, Light X, and RatedRComedy.com.
Follow the very funny Patrick Vile on X or Instagram at Vile Experience. Oh, so freaking Vile.
Blessed Republican-free, drama-free weekends to all. We'll hit you up on Monday.
Macaques.
Thank you for listening to Crab Diving. Catch the crabs on Facebook. Facebook.com/crabdiving. And on Twitter and Instagram at crabdiving.